With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
You're listening to CPA Review and More with your host, Phil Yeager of Yeager CPA Review. My name's Rob and I'm the producer. In this week's episode, we talk to Juan Garcia, the CPA marketer. We hear a little bit about his background with PwC and how exactly he became the CPA marketer. We also get a little insight as to why he's not currently a CPA, but is on the path to becoming one. We will apologize in advance. We had some technical difficulties with Phil's computer, which put his microphone out of commission, so some of the audio through the later portion of the podcast is not quite as clear and crisp as we normally have his recording.
Well, Juan, thank you very much. Most people say, aren't you Dr. Phil Yeager? And I said, well, yeah, I have a PhD, but I don't like to spread it around too much, all right? And the reason is, then people start calling me Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil,
and
Dr. Phil.
Me with that fraud, all right?
That's right.
Right? So there on you the go. Television. And they all say to me, Phil, that's me, Phil, what's the difference between you and Dr. Phil on TV? And I say, I have hair. That is the big difference, actually, okay?
There you go.
But anyway, all right, Juan is a CPA marketer, which we'll talk about. He's also an advisor at Tax Token. We'll talk about that. And also, it looks like you won. Was this a contest? The Deloitte Best Practices National Champion in Financial Literacy. What does that mean? Did you get
any
money?
Right. That's for Beta Alpha Psi. I think we got like a $500, $1,000 check for, you know, our chapter or something like that. But no, that was a great opportunity.
You only got
$500
to $1,000 from Deloitte?
Only $500. That's right. For teaching them some financial literacy. There you go.
Well, we ought to help them out. We ought to help them out. Gee, I hope they can afford that. All right. Well, anyway, so you got that for Beta Alpha Psi, which is, by the way, that's the accounting honor societies at the different universities. And what's financial literacy? Is that literacy in finance? I don't know what it is. What's financial literacy?
Yeah, that's right. So I think that's coming from a poverty-stricken background, so to speak. I think I had an early understanding that, hey, if anyone was going to learn about money, it was going to be me with the massive opportunity of the internet at the time. Like, you have to remember and put time in context. I mean, I was in middle school and people just started using Google. So as a matter of fact, this goes right into marketing here. I mean, my eighth grade speech competition where I really kind of got into marketing, and we'll get into the whole relationship between accounting and marketing. But funny enough, my first speech or, you know, presentation, really a competition where I won and found out I was a great communicator was I won an oral reading contest and a prepared speech contest talking about poverty and really talking about money. And so, oh my God, the judges started crying. And so I was like, wow, like really bringing some of these messages to light that people don't necessarily know about money and are scammed every day, run up credit card bills, payday loans, things of that nature. That's what I was talking about at that time. But I was like, wow, a lot of people just don't know. And so that's what I think financial literacy is, just the education of money. these days, it's, you know, I talk about marketing a lot, but what I love to really get is the ethical and work with is the ethical businesses, or, you know, expose the truth of what's going on in financial literacy. But to answer your question, you know, and that has nothing to do with the competition. That's just what my opinion on what I think financial literacy is. But it's extremely important. And that goes back to, you know, educating the public and doing a marketing job of it, whether, you know, you're selling an accounting Excel course, something as simple as that, or, you know, a CPA review course. So it's all about education from the marketing department of things, right? And doing that in an ethical way. So really proud. I think financial literacy is my mission. And so that just, I'm just happy to be here, and everything else is a whole lot of fun. So really, really appreciate to be on this podcast. But yeah, start off with a little marketing communication lesson there. And by the way, let's get into some marketing stuff too. I know we're here to talk about my CPA story, and I think there's some lessons to learn there and how valuable I think a CPA actually is. But what I learned from my mentors, and I think you'll appreciate this, Phil, because you can go ahead and use it, but I think younger generations and younger entrepreneurs coming up in the space, if they do find themselves on a prestigious podcast like this, the Jaeger CPA Review Podcast.
I'm sorry, what'd you call me?
That's prestigious? Right, prestigious,
an
accounting legend.
Excuse
here.
Rob, put that down. All right, thank you. Go ahead.
And I know you're just starting your podcast here, but I think what you'll be able to find is success pretty fast, because it's really about, I say, there's no such thing as perfect marketing, right? Because to have the perfect marketing, you would have to do a perfect job in real life and then market that, right? So that's the biggest lesson I can give to CPAs is just market the truth, market results. And since Jaeger has such a impact in the space, all you have to do now, Phil, is tell stories, right? And what you have over others is experience over maybe expertise. And so that's a contrast there between the younger generations and the older generations. I'm going to come on this podcast and frankly display my expertise more than I'm going to say, hey, I have all this experience. But you have stories, Phil, a lot to talk about, just like one of the guests on my podcast and your podcast as well, Jody Paydar. She has a lot of experience, right? And I was listening to that podcast and you were saying, well, how do I learn this new stuff, right? Well, really, all you have to do is tell the stories and show experience. And I think a lot of experts will definitely listen to you and even be on this podcast. So appreciative to be on here, but that's just a marketing lesson that I think about so that we can get by my story pretty fast so that we can just drop tons of value on this podcast. And I think people are more interested in hearing stories from a person like Phil and hearing, you know, tactics and strategies from a person like me, if that makes sense for anybody in the audience or if that makes sense for you, Phil. Just thought I'd drop some quick value there.
That was very good. And by the way, Jody was terrific. I know more I know more about bots now. All right. And by the way, I know I will end up in the cloud one day.
That's so, right. Yeah, take you to the cloud.
Yeah, and Jody needs to get a better sense of humor. I mean, no, she was really funny. I enjoyed having her. Anyway, you started off, you graduated college, and you then you got a Master of Account. By the way, is your undergraduate degree in accounting?
Yes. Yes, it is.
So when you took your Master's of Accountancy, did you repeat those accounting courses, or what did you do in your Master's of Accountancy?
Right. So at that point, I don't believe I had even taken audit or corporate tax yet. So I think those were the two direction classes where we kind of figured out, okay, these are big industries, corporate tax, learning a lot about tax there and how businesses are structured. And then audit, really, you know, the fundamentals of audit. I think those were the two most, I guess, me as a marketer thinking about profit, those are the two most profitable classes from what I remember. But no, everything else was, I think, project based. And, you know, education is a whole nother story. I'm not the most, you know, I'm not the 4.0 student. What I did do was a lot of extracurricular activities and really even showed my marketing strength there. But I was a B student. so to speak, right? But no, undergrad.
I think that's excellent. What do you, great.
Yeah. No, I think your opinion is important too here, Phil. What do you think? What do you think about these graduate programs?
Well, I feel this way. If you have a bachelor's degree in accounting, all right, I think because you usually have most of the accounting courses, if not all, to qualify, all right, especially if you add a fifth year to that, all right, I would then take an MBA, a Master of Business Administration. That, to me, is a perfect blend because a lot of times when you have a bachelor's degree in accounting, the master's program of accountancy is geared towards people who don't have an undergraduate degree in accounting. So, wow. I mean, it's just –
super interesting.
But that's just my opinion. I mean, there's nothing wrong with this. You still have enough – you've had enough credits, and I'm sure you have more than 150 hours to meet the requirements to sit for the CPA exam. So,
right.
I mean, my opinion is this. You got a bachelor's degree in accounting, right? Don't repeat yourself by taking a master's of accountancy. Many of the courses will be, all right, duplicates of what you took in your undergraduate. So get an MBA, right? That's what I did. I got an MBA.
That's really nice. I haven't actually thought about it like that, but what that does speak to in just accounting in general and what the industry is really going to become with all these bots that everyone talks about, all this automation, right? I think there is a winner here in all of it, and that winner is the business person, being a business person first and then an accountant, where these bots and this automation really help you out with the accounting function, and you know how to put the deals in place. And so becoming that advisor, I think that's the future. I think there's something called the last mile, right? These are the last, you know, how far can an industry go when we start automating things? And so if anyone is on the accounting track to get their CPA, I think just having that business experience, like I'll put it this way. The deal maker in all of this, right, the actual human brain who can do business here, the deal maker will not go away before the actual bookkeeper does, the bookkeeping of it all, if that makes sense.
And
I think if you understand the language of accounting, it's a super it's probably, you know, when I think about other students when it comes to going down the accounting track, and other people just look at accounting students and they're like, man, you guys are crazy. Why would you do that to yourself? So it's an incredibly valuable skill. I think becoming the business person that then communicates that skill is, that's highly rewarding as well.
And I recently read an article. I get the accounting daily. I get a newsletter every week, and they're saying now that you're majoring in accounting, you get your CPA, but, all right, many of the positions, the functions today that you normally did, like tax returns, I'm trying to think of the other one, write-up work, bookkeeping, that's what the accountant used to do before, but they said you got to be ready.
Technical difficulties.
When everything starts coming, and you want to be sort of a consultant in a way, all right, when you have the knowledge, all right, you'll be able to separate yourself from the other people who don't have that knowledge. So, and so this is the time. You know, people say, when should I start learning about artificial intelligence and the bots and the cloud consultants? If that interests you, I would start learning it now. You're not going to learn it overnight. Jody was talking about that. And, you know, interestingly enough, she took the CPA exam 5 times, she said. All right. So, no, if you take the exam 5 times, 10 times, and that's what it takes to pass, all right, Jody shows that even with, you know, everyone thinks the geniuses pass the first time. She took 5 tries. And you know what? Uh-huh. I consider her a genius.
Amazing.
Because she has the expertise that virtually no one has in artificial intelligence, the bots, all right, and also the cloud. It was interesting listening to her.
Yeah, so, and I'll say this about that, you know, taking it 5 times and then passing as well. Like, I think she said, you know, nobody really cares at all how many times you took it, as long as you are a CPA. That's the people in the accounting space, and you know, some CPA candidates don't know how true that actually is when you extend that conversation out to a business environment like LinkedIn, or even just walking into a business mixer. Jody walks in a room and just says she's a CPA. Nobody's like, oh, you failed it four times, right? So I think back to just that whole is getting a CPA worth it conversation that we're having nowadays. I think it's one of the most valuable things to lead with, but maybe we'll get more into that. But
while you're talking about that, let me just say this. All right. She proves what I tell students today. All right. If you don't pass the first, second, third, whatever it takes. All right. Don't quit. Continue. And you will become a CPA. And that no matter how many times it takes to pass, if you pass, that's the key thing. And also, once again, it doesn't mean if you took it five times, there's anything less about you intelligent-wise, because she is now an expert. I mean, she's mm-hmm. got companies calling her. They bring mm-hmm. her in to say, hey, show us how this bot and also all of that artificial intelligence can save us money. I mean, she was telling me that the next day she was going to Nashville, all right? So she's a consultant. And, mm-hmm. you know, so the number of times you take the exam doesn't really reflect, all right, whether you're intelligent or not right. intelligent. It's 100%. The fact that, yeah, you know what it shows? What it shows is I really look at people and say, I didn't give up. That's the thing. And we all get, you know, when we pass, we get the CPA certificate, license. There's nowhere on there that says you only took the exam one time. You only took the exam six times. It doesn't show how many times. So who cares? All right.
Right.
Now, going back to your, as I say, you worked at PwC, and
that's right.
They did offer you a bonus, right, if you passed within the first year.
They did. That's right.
And that was the $5,000 bonus. And as we
said,
virtually impossible to get it because they don't give you the time to study.
Right.
Right. But they certainly give you the time to work. They work it in depth. All right. All right. You had the brains, all right, the intelligence to say, hey, this is not going to work for me, and I want to be an entrepreneur. Is that what you thought?
Right. And that's what I initially thought. And the story is actually funny. And I'll get into it here because I thought I was actually going to stay at PwC for 5 years, right? I thought, you know what, I would get my CPA. But what happened was I went to I flew to California, right, to go work in San Jose, where I'm at right now. I'm originally from Texas, was working, had my internship in oil and gas. I said, wow, you know, PwC, these brands that we're working with is very prestigious. And this is something I want to talk about in the future, right? But I don't want to do it in oil and gas. This stuff is boring. This stuff is boring to me. Plus, I don't see myself working at any of these companies. If I were to get a job, you know, after PwC, it's not going to be in oil and gas. It's going to be in tech. So I asked them to transfer me to San Jose. Very grateful for the opportunity that came along to where they were able to do that. And then I went to go audit in the biotech industry as soon as I was done with orientation. Incredibly tough audit, one of the toughest audits the firm, you know, a lot of professionals on that job had seen thus far. So you can imagine how many hours.
Technical difficulties.
Computer. All right. Restart for the Windows. All right.
There you go.
I love computers. All right. Let me make this a little lower because Rob had it. Okay. All right. Let's lower that. Okay. That's good. All right. So anyway, let's go to, do I have to hear myself repeat myself? I'm hearing myself repeat myself. All right. There we go. Thank you, Rob. All right. So anyway, let's go on here. All right. How long were you at PwC, by the way?
So I was only there for 8 months, but what was beautiful about it was, I got there and I wasn't immediately sitting around. I actually got the chance to experience two busy seasons, one in the biotech industry, incredibly tough audit, right? 9:30 year. And then we had a venture capital client that had, you know, tons of tech projects over here, and I really have some cool stuff to talk about with accountants inside the context of a business mixer, right? But outside of looking at my strengths and looking at what would happen going forward with the firm, just being the marketer that I already was, I actually had a media company already and clients going into my job with PwC. And I brought it to HR before, you know, my first day at the job, and they said, no, well, are you crazy? You can't have clients while you're working with PwC. You can't even have a $500 paying client that you're doing media for, right? I said, okay. So I canceled all my contracts, but I did help my friends out with free media after hours and things of that nature, keep up with marketing talk, even at night after the 80-hour weeks. I ended up making a cryptocurrency podcast while I was at PwC. And I don't advise everyone to kind of do what I'm about to describe here, leave the firm within 8 months, right? Because everyone has to think, you know, Juan went from accounting to marketing, right? This back to the CPA conversation. Let's just start with that. Why does Juan, the CPA marketer who markets CPAs, right? Why does he not have a CPA? Well, I had a meeting with my mentor, who's a CFO over here, and she's been a CFO for quite a few tech companies, and she told me, Juan, having that CPA is extremely valuable. When you walk into a room, you don't even have to know your numbers, but you should know your numbers, right? You should know what you're talking about. You should be an expert at something. But as far as other business people go, they have a lot of respect for you when you walk into a room and say that you're CPA. You just have the attention when you're talking about the financials, right? And so I said, okay. And we're having coffee. This was me discussing with her, hey, I think I'm just going to focus on marketing after hours, while my, you know, colleagues and my peers focused on passing the CPA exam to get that $5,000 bonus, right? And what I really decided in that moment was that if I would put in the hours to really follow my passion and expertise outside of work, right, that would pay more dividends in the long run than just going completely ghost and really just focusing on accounting with these two busy seasons that I had, continuing. If you're a workhorse like me, then, you know, the firm is going to ask you to do a lot of stuff and you're going to do a lot of it. So that's where it was going. Not that I had a problem with it. I was having a lot of fun. You know, I wasn't in the office crying about the hours at all. It was just, hey, I can get my CPA in year three or even four. And if I just need that to be a manager and stay at PwC, that's great. That's fine. But I think I'm going to put more hours into becoming an expert at something outside of work. And if I can't make this profitable, but more profitable than $5,000 by the first year, I really shouldn't ever, you know, call myself an entrepreneurial thinker, because, you know, I already was an entrepreneur before PwC. But what I had found was that, you know, I didn't go along with saying what a lot of my associates were saying, were doing, right? I didn't go along with a lot of what I think the stigma is of, and I think you spoke to it a little, Phil, of passing in that first year, right? Or maybe you don't get to talk about it with your friends. Maybe, you know, all the other parents are proud, right? Woo, you know, so-and-so passed in the first year in their first tries, right? What I knew is that none of that mattered, right? What mattered is getting business done right now in a fast-moving industry. I moved to Silicon Valley. I saw cryptocurrencies moving fast, business moving fast, the accounting industry moving fast, and then having marketing savvy and knowing what's going on in that market, I was like, wow, the accountants really need some marketing here. The jobs that we're doing, and I know it was big for audit at the time, but I was looking at other areas, other lines of service within accounting, right? I think some businesses here are undervaluing themselves, and it's not, everyone uses this word, add value, right? Give value-added services as a firm, as a CPA, right? What you really want to do is you want your communication efforts to actually display that value, right? So I think there's something to be said here in the accounting space for putting more of a focus on communicating the value that we already have or the experiences. Like I mentioned to you, Phil, you have stories, right? Putting some communication around these great things that we all have that, you know, stereotypically, the industry isn't so comfortable with one word, and it's called bragging, right? But I'll put it another way, and it's called telling the truth, right? So, I mean, your JD, Jonathan Frost said it on my podcast. He said, you know what? Our firm is growing so fast, and I think it's because we're not only doing a great job, and you hear people talk about, well, let the work do the talking, right? But if you only let the work do the talking, then only the people that you work with know about you. And great, you can get testimonials there, but the world doesn't know about you. Back to the reason, like, I don't even have a CPA right now, yet I'm telling my CPA story on the Jaeger podcast. And, you know, I'm grateful, extremely grateful to be here. such a well-run brand, I think, a respected brand in the accounting industry. But at some point, you have to say, hey, you know, good things are happening for Juan Garcia and his brands, and even a lot of things that I don't talk about. And that's where, you know, I'll take my story into is I understood that the accounting industry needed better communication. And if I left in month 8 at PwC, that would never, and I left the right way. You know, my manager said I could extend that out over just having, you know, 3 years the way it was looking. I'm always welcome back. Not that I'll go back. In fact, I won't at this point. I've already built a brand, not a big company, you know, a small, humble business where I'm not charging fees out of the eyeballs. But what I've built is a brand to where I wouldn't have to go back to PwC. And so I think building brands, building a lot of that communication around your value as a CPA is extremely important. And it's probably one of the best ways to extract the value out of your CPA is tell me the truth about your stories, right? Are you a new CPA? Jody tells us the truth about she took it 5 times. Wow, within the walls of the CPA industry, that, you know, a lot of respect there. So yeah, I think there's something to be said about stories, but just telling my story really fast, that's what prompted me to quit at the end of 8 months. It had nothing to do with PwC, nothing to do with I thought getting a CPA was a bad idea. It's just that, hey, I saw the marketing opportunity right now, and we've got some brands to build here. So that's a little bit of my story, and we can get into more, but I'd love to, you know, not hog the mic here.
No, that's all right. You do digital marketing. What kind of firms do you do this for? What size firms?
That's right. So our biggest firm right now has been a 30-plus person firm, right, doing about $6 million. But I think a lot of entrepreneurs, first off, a lot of small businesses got a lot of my business up front, and we've been able to build these firms. Back to what I said, telling the truth, I think a marketing lesson for everyone is use your big headlines, right? That's what a lot of the financial advisors do. And so just the other day, I was describing that we helped build a firm in less than 3 months from doing just under 250K in revenue to above 900K in revenue. And they don't have a website. They're not very active on LinkedIn. What they do is they go to their strength and they go to their industry. So when everybody thinks about digital marketing, they don't necessarily have to be like me, charismatic, right? They don't have to be like Phil and have the podcast. And, you know, Phil, you're charismatic as well. Not everyone has that. But what you do need to do is at least tell the truth of how good you are. And so I think that comes through testimonials, right? And I think a lot of these firms, from Big Four to the small solo practitioner, each one has its marketing deficiencies where they can get better at communicating the value. I mean, as an intern, PwC asked myself and a few other interns what they should do to become a household name. And really, we wowed their internal team to where we got regional partners flying, had a second conversation with them, wowed them because we brought them to reality on Instagram and Snapchat, right? And then we had a conversation with our U.S. marketing director. So when people ask me what size firms I work with, I just tell the truth of, you know, the firms we've worked with right now and what we're doing and our free content. It's great for small entrepreneurs because we don't have a course and class we're running through. But really, we can help. I can go right back to PwC and make them a lot more money now than I can as a marketer than I was in their audit department auditing tech companies, right? So, and if we don't have the capacity to do it, we actually do have the business relationships with some of the best marketing firms in the world for just about any size firm. And that's my mission, is to bring the best of marketing into the accounting world, because I think that there's still a long way outside of big four audits. Okay, I know that whole deal. That's a different conversation. But as far as marketing accounting services go, what I learned is that it was worse than I thought coming in. That top line revenue should be increased, right? If there's anything I learned from my marketing course in college, the only thing I learned, actually, thank you, Dr. Murdoch, was that profit is not a dirty word. And so a lot of these accounting businesses, they're not scams. They do make the business owner's money in a world where, you know, a lot of prospects are coming back and saying, you know, I thought it was going to be a lower price. I was expecting this, right? In a world where certain firms are competing on price. I don't think that's the end all be all is competing on price. I think there's a lot of value to go here. But no, Phil, I just want to see what you're thinking now, because I have tons of, you know, thoughts on marketing, the industry. But what are you most interested in?
Well, you know, owning a CPA review course in today's market is different. When I started this review course, it was live. I was standing up teaching people. They got to know my personality. And they actually would do this. They would go out and they would be my marketing people. Okay.
Mm.
And they would just, you know, I was very fortunate. All right. They bragged about the course. I mean, really, you know, said nice things. Now, today it's a lot different. All right. Because I don't have the contact with the people in a classroom. It's now done, you know, through a streaming video. And really, I try to tell people, when you start off with a course, you got to give me a call. I want to set up a schedule for
right,
you.
Right, right, right.
I want to keep in touch with you, you know, every couple of weeks if you don't have questions. And by the way, I do take questions 7 days a week, all right, if students have questions. I believe you got to give personal service. So, you know, I try to get that personal relationship. But you're fighting today, you know, a lot of people that like the lack of personal skills. You know, they don't want that. They really don't want to talk to you, okay?
In fact,
if they're always concerned that if they call me up, they're bothering me. And, you know, that's not the case. I tell them, don't email me, all right? Just pick up the phone. I can answer it very easily. So the type of marketing for us has changed. So we, you know, what do we do today? Well, we do a lot of the internet marketing, all right, the social media, and, you know, I don't particularly like it as much. I'd prefer to be able to tell people, you know, hey, this is the Jaeger course, all right? You liked it? Tell other people about it. And, it's much harder today. But, you know, you have to go with the flow as far as, hey, technology changes. You got to change with the technology, all right? And even though I'm from the old school, but we didn't have this technology, social media, you know, LinkedIn, all right? I am trying my best to get used to it and fit into the mold. Now, honestly, when I was on the phone with Jody, I was sitting there and I was saying, what is she talking about, you know? And I'm really, what is she talking about? I tried my best. And I got off the show, and I have to tell you what I said. I said, God, I feel totally intimidated, all right? Here she is.
Right,
she knows all this stuff about bots and clouds and all that. And I said, to me, the cloud is something you look up on a nice day and you look at the clouds, all right?
So, right.
It's really, I mean, this terminology is different. But I think today, you know, most accountants probably are the same as they were years ago. They don't know how to market. Their job is they know maybe how to do, if it's audits or whatever, that's what they're good at. But a lot of them, the smaller firms, they don't have marketing departments. So they have to bring in people like you, all right? And gee, if you can find people like you, it's really great. To me, it's tough. So you're out there, you can do the marketing, all right? And they can concentrate on what they do best, all right? Their type of Yeah, so, I mean, do you act as a marketing arm for those companies that don't have marketing departments? Is that what you're doing?
Right.
Okay.
We basically act as a marketing department. And what's even cooler is with even some of our bigger firms that can afford it, we're building marketing teams and building an internal infrastructure there. Because without that, like, I'm not going to sit here and not tell the truth that I know, which is if you have enough money to build that internally, like, it's a great idea. It's just that the best companies in the world, they have their internal marketing departments as well as get advised by the big firms, right? So yeah, we act as that external marketing department. From I would say if you're going to spend $1,000 on marketing, like, either if you're sure about it, sure, fine, go with us. But if it's only you're going to spend $1,000 on marketing a month and that's it, then check out some of our free content. And you only have two things to spend when it comes to marketing when you're building a business. It's time or it's money. So I really appreciate you mentioning that, Phil. You know, if a firm does have enough money to outsource, yeah, they should outsource the thing that they're actually not, you know, isn't their, you know, talent, right? Their main talent. Right. It's a great idea when it's an income producing activity such as marketing. But as far as the smaller firms, and that's why I say, you know, a lot of courses and marketing programs, and, you know, you said you want to sit in some seminars yourself. I don't think that's the best use of a lot of accountants' time, right? I think if we're talking about business builders here, even some of my most strategic CPAs in my fastest growing offices, where the CPA, it's one, you know, person, one personal brand leading an entire firm, even they have their own accountants doing their taxes. So I think everyone has to really back to growing up in Central Texas, from the blue collar environment versus the white collar environment, from the school of Greg Popovich, everyone has a job to do. So, I mean, what is the job where you can bring the company the most ROI, right? I mean, I'm going to make companies millions here before I make my millions, right? And I think that's very, very executable in the accounting space, where a lot of people don't know and give it the respect it deserves. But it's the most profitable industry, not because, you know, there's so many people being ripped off, right? But just for a few reasons. And you might say profitable, what? Some entrepreneurs are barely scraping by. That's because even some EAs, some enrolled agents by themselves, can market themselves better than CPAs. And so they're winning a lot of business over CPAs that, you know, it's frankly, it is a, sometimes it is a marketing battle. And whether you have that skill or not, you're an expert or not, is it cost segregation? Is it different expertise? And, you know, I'm going on a tangent here, but the idea is, find your expertise and then add value to the company and then communicate that, right? You don't have to be everything. Back to Phil is taking a course, or, you know, I never even took a marketing course myself. And if anyone is going to come along and say, hey, you know, I'm a better, if anyone is going to look at me and look at this podcast and study me and the things that I'm saying and say, hey, you know, I'm a better marketer than Juan Garcia alone, you know, don't go with him, go with me. They actually don't know what I'm building here, which is a firm. So that's exactly how businesses should be built. And I don't think the individualistic rhetoric of being an entrepreneur is correct. I think it's more of a team building environment. And back to, you know, following the school of Greg Popovich, everyone has a job to do. So let's build businesses together.
Well, Juan, we have a few minutes left, and I want to mention two things that I think are important. First of all right, how do people get in touch with you if they wanted your services, all right? Can you tell people where they go?
Yes. So there's two places that I think are, first of all, fascinating for you. If you're not on these two platforms, this is where you're going to make a lot of just free branding headway. So that's LinkedIn. If you're not on LinkedIn, got to get to it. Okay. Search me on LinkedIn, Juan Garcia, Gold Lake Media, the CPA marketer. Okay. And then on Instagram.
Juan, you want to say that again? I don't know if people would have.
Okay. Right, LinkedIn. Go on LinkedIn, search the CPA marketer, Juan Garcia, or Gold Lake Media. Okay. That's on LinkedIn. Now on Instagram, it is at Gold Lake Media, and you'll be in for a treat with a lot of our free content, if anything.
And also, very quickly, you have a podcast, don't you?
That's right.
What is your podcast about?
So my podcast is CPA Primetime. We put CPAs in the spotlight. Limelight, learn about their origin stories. We actually had Jody Paydar as a guest on as well, and an interesting few guests we have there. So feel free to go and check that out, that podcast as well. Very appreciated.
And I'm sorry, what is the name of the podcast again? Just tell us.
It is CPA Primetime.
And how often do you do that?
So CPA Primetime comes out every Sunday. And pretty soon here, we're going to release another series that's more geared towards a lot of marketing tips. I actually don't know what I'm going to call it yet, but CPA Primetime gets into a lot of CPA stories. So whether you're becoming a CPA or you're an EA or building a brand or working towards getting your CPA, I think even looking at some of those guests on there and learning from them is extremely important, right? A lot of experience here, right? This is my 11th month in full entrepreneurship. If I don't have a lot of experience, guess who I had on last night? JJ, the CPA, who has 22 plus years of experience and is telling everyone, you know, hey, you've got to do this. And it's about class and manners, growing your business, right? Classic. So, I really appreciate you giving the shout out there, Phil.
Well, I hope when you have your second podcast, you'll let us know. And I barely scratched the surface about Juan Garcia. We'd like to give you a holler and see if you'll come on again and talk somewhat more about, you know, what your business is, right? Where you want to go with this business. I think it would be interesting. And once again, when you have that second podcast, you decide what you're going to call it, when you're going to run it, please let us know. We'd love to have you on again to please talk all about that podcast. I think it would be very informative for people because I believe marketing is really one of the most, you know, yeah, you can be the greatest accountant in the world, but if you can't let people know, you can't get the word out because you don't know how to, then you have to think marketing is so important. And if you can't do it, get someone who can, right?
That's right. Thank you, Phil.
You're welcome, Juan. And anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening again to the, I always have to ask Rob our name. CPA Review and More, right?
Thanks again for listening to CPA Review and More with your host, Phil Yeager. If you have any questions or topics you'd like to hear about, we want to hear from you. Send your feedback live to us here at the studio at podcast@YeagerCPAReview.com. That email will also be in the podcast description for this episode. If you're in the market for a review course or simply want to know more about Yeager CPA Review and what we have to offer, check out our website. Link will be in the description as well. Don't forget to use promo code PODCAST to take advantage of 15% off your purchase of the CPA Review course bundles on the Yeager website. And if you haven't already, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the podcast to keep hearing more of the great podcasts that CPA Review and More has to offer. Until next time, take care.